Thank you, Chris. I love that song. I always love to sing that last verse and think about the day that we see Jesus Christ in the sky and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. And to say, if that was today, we looked and saw Him, would the first thought in our mind be, that's all right. It is well with my soul. If it's not, we need to do something about our lives today. I want to ask you a question this morning. Why are you here today? Not the answer that you give to, if I ask you that personally, or if you're saying it to somebody, but the answer that you know to be true in your heart of hearts. Why are you here today? Are you here for social opportunities? Are you here to feel better about yourself in some way? Are you here because people think you should be here? And therefore, you're here. Are you here today because you have always just come to church? It's just your habit. You've done it since a child and you continue to do it as an adult. Are you here today because any religion will do? And for some particular reason or another, you chose this one. Or are you here today because you love Christ? Are you here today because you long to worship God? Are you here today because you are dedicated to the family of God, dedicated to the kingdom of God and to its works and to its worship? Are you here because you understand and know that this is the one true church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Any of the last four reasons means that you're here for the right reasons. Any of the previous reasons to those four that I mentioned means that you're doing nothing more than warming a pew. God forbid. And He does. You know, today we begin a series designed to help us move onward. To move onward in purpose. Last week we talked about moving upward in Jesus Christ, taking on His attributes in our life. And we're going to look at that throughout the year. But today we begin talking about moving onward in purpose. Why are we here? What is our purpose? What are we to do? For we are called to serve. And hence we are called to do something. We are called to have a purpose. This series is named the Pillar and Support of Truth series. And the name comes from Paul's letter to young Timothy where he says, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God." So right there we see, in that just the first part of the verse, we see Paul telling young Timothy, this is the reason I wrote the book of 1 Timothy. There's the reason. If you were going to put in your Bible the reason, the primary purpose of the book of 1 Timothy, that's it. Paul said it. I am writing that you might know how to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church, he says, of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. We're going to discuss that verse more in just a moment. But I want to mention real quick that in this series, we will examine God's design for marriage. We will examine God's law regarding divorce and remarriage. We will examine homosexuality, morality, abortion, humanism, tolerance, greed and materialism, premillennialism, and selfishness that so characterizes our society today. All of these things must be dealt with by members of the church, for our purpose is to bring God's Word to those things, to bring God's truth to those things, to bring His light to the dark perversions of this world. Perversions such as the things we've just mentioned that are in contrast or are contradictory to the Word of God. That is our purpose today. We are not here to be a social club. We are not here to be entertained. We are not here to be served. We are not here to only do that which we are comfortable doing. We are not here as the Lord's church to take the easy path. We talked about paths last week. We are here to take the road less traveled. Our purpose, according to Paul, is to be a pillar in support of the truth. We think about pillars, and we understand what pillars are. Pillars hold something up, and we are to be pillars of the truth. We are to hold up the truth for all to see. We are that light. We are that city set on the hill. We are not to be under a bushel. We're not to be holding it down here. We're to be holding it up here, that all might see, and that all might see God and His truth and what He wants for the world. We must hold the truth above the chants of the homosexual agenda. We must hold the truth above the murderous claim of choice by those that are pro-abortion. We must hold the truth above the false pursuit of greed and materialism. We must hold the truth above the foolishness of atheism. We must hold the truth above the illogical call for tolerance. And we must hold the truth of God above the unrighteousness of false teaching in the religious world. We have to stand up before the world, no matter what they think, no matter what they say about us. I think today we struggle to stand out. We struggle to stand out because that's not where people want to be. People don't want to stand out and be noticed and become targets, I guess we could say, in our society's eyes sometimes. To be targets of ridicule, to be targets of being called names. You know, in many ways we have lost the Jeremiah's fire in our bones. And we have let ourselves be silent to the point that in many ways we've lost our distinctiveness. That we stand separate, sanctified would be another word, separate and apart from the world. We desire too often for the world to like us and have lost the willingness to turn the world upside down like Paul and the Thessalonians did in the book of Acts with God's eternal truth. We want the cross that we take to have wheels on the end of it so that it's easier to carry. And even worse, sometimes we want just someone else to carry our cross for us, don't we? That's just too heavy. That's just too hard. I don't want to do that. We are called to do the hard things of God. And one of those hard things is standing. Standing is hard, yet we are called to stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Just one text out of many that I could have chosen. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. You know, we are also called not only to be the pillar, not only to be the pillar of truth, to hold the truth up, but we are called as well by Paul to be the support of the truth. The church is the foundation that supports the truth. If we fail to support the truth, then the house of God that Paul talked about in the first part of that verse, the church of the living God, falls apart. It collapses because no one's supporting that which is the foundation of it. It is on sand because we hear it, but we don't do it. We don't teach it. And so if we are to hold up, we are to hold up and support the truth in all ways. These two things are Paul's effort to teach us, as he says in the verse that we are discussing, to know how to conduct ourselves in the household of God, in the church of the living God. This is how we are to live. This is what we are to do. This is our purpose. This is why we are here today. And this is why you live the Christian life tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day, so long as you draw the breath of life upon this earth, to be the pillar and support of truth. You know, doing these things allow us to continue to be the church of God. The fact that the church is the pillar and support of truth means that there is only one church. Because there is only one truth. Folks, we need to burn that into our minds. We need to know that. We need to believe that. We need to be convicted. And we need not to be afraid to say that that is a fact. That there is one church because there is only one truth. in our world today, and that's God's truth. And if someone supports any other teaching, they cannot be the house of God if they support anything other than what God's truth is, because they are not holding up truth and they are not supporting truth, and therefore the house cannot stand. They cannot be His church. Other religious groups cannot be God's church if they do not believe that baptism is essential for one to receive the forgiveness of sins. God's truth says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for to bring about the remission of your sins. That is the truth. Anything outside of that, anything beyond that is to cease holding it up. It is to cease supporting it. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 that baptism doth now also save us. I told a man one time, you're not arguing with me, you're arguing with Peter. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit. So to hold that to be true, that baptism is not needed, is to go against the truth. It cannot be God's church. Other religious groups cannot be God's church if they add to God's truth. If they add instrumental music in their worship. There is no place in the New Testament where instrumental music is mentioned. In fact, the only mentioning in the New Testament is in regards to singing and the fruit of our lips. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Hebrews 13, 15, Colossians 3, 16. So to add those things to the worship of God is to add to what God has already said. To add to the truth. Religious groups cannot be the church of God by adding to His Word with women in roles of authority over men. According to 1 Timothy chapter 3, elders and deacons are to be men. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12 says that a woman is not to exercise authority over a man in the church. That is the truth. To not hold that up is to cease to be the house of God. A religious group cannot be the church of God by adding man-made doctrines instead of the one true doctrine or one truth and the doctrines of God as found in the Bible. There are no latter-day revelations because according to Jude 3, the truth was delivered once for all. Now that's either right or that's wrong. And if it's wrong, then this book is worthless, just like they say. But I believe it's right. I believe God got it right the first time. I don't believe God makes mistakes. And I don't believe God fails. I don't believe He ever has failed. He's kept His book together. Not only was it once delivered to the saints, but James 1:25 tells us that it's the perfect law of liberty. And if it is perfect, it needs no help. It needs no additions. It needs no improvements. It needs no supplements. It certainly doesn't need our help. So we don't need man-made doctrines. We don't need creeds and books of doctrine written by men, because they cannot add to, nor can they supplant, the truth that the church has been called to hold up and to support. Religious groups cannot be the church of God by adding to God's truth by claiming to be able to perform miracles, being able to speak in tongues, which 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says ceased when the Word of God was completed. Religious groups cannot be the church of God if they take away from God's truth by not taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, as they did in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, by removing parts of the Bible that are not liked. Now, there are those in the religious world that don't like Genesis chapters 1 through 11. And so they've just decided that those are myth. They've just decided that those are allegory. And they don't want to believe that God created everything in 6 24-hour days. They'd rather believe in the lie of evolution and try to fit that into truth somehow than to believe the simple truth of what God said He did. Somebody once said, Nathan, they can do it any way they want. Yes, God could have done it any way He wants, but that's how He said He did it. And that's what I'm going to go with. If He'd have wanted it to do it some other way, He could have done it some other way. He could have used billions of years. But I think Genesis 1 would be written a little different if He did. They want to believe things such as the gap theory or the day-age theory. relegating these things to myth or allegory. They cannot remove from God's Word what they do not like removing God entirely. Some scholars, even within our own fellowship, have begun to remove God from the authorship of the Bible, giving authorship to men, taking Moses out of the Pentateuch as the writer and making it just oral traditions that have been passed down, taking God out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and applying the fallacies of man to Scripture. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, all Scripture is from God. And anybody that says anything different is lying. And the truth is not in them. And they are not the house of God. Religions cannot be the house of God if they teach error such as once saved, always saved. The Bible will not support such a thing. Truth will not support such a thing. Galatians chapter 5 verse 4 says that they could fall from grace, or they would fall from grace, if they relied upon the old law. How can you fall from grace? Well, if you say, well, what about somebody that was saved and they began to live a life? Well, they never were really saved. Well, that just doesn't make any sense. I can't fall off this building until I get on it, right? I have to climb up on the building to fall off of it. And to fall from grace, to fall from the salvation that grace provides, I have to have been in the grace. I have to have been on top of it. I have to have received it to fall from it. So that simply will not be held in God's Word. Those that teach error, such as all religious groups, are right before God. This simply cannot be. As much as we'd like for it to be, I'd love for it to be. I really would, folks. I would love to think that everybody's going to go to heaven. That's a wonderful thought. That's not what the Bible teaches. There is one truth. And folks, there's a lot of religious groups that do not follow it. They do not follow the Bible. They do not do what God's Word says. And they cannot be the church of God. They cannot be the house of God. There are those that believe in faith only without works. James chapter 2 makes it clear that faith without works is dead. It is useless. It can do nothing to bring salvation to your life. There are those that still believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. John 14:6, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. And friends, if you reject Christ, you reject God. And you cannot be His people. We hear that a lot today, especially with Middle East peace, you know, that everybody wants to help God's people, but that's not God's people. The Lord's church is God's people. We are now the children of Abraham because we do as Abraham did. We live in faith to God, as Jesus said in John 8. Religious groups cannot be the church of God. They believe that homosexuality or sex outside of the marriage relationship or abortion or drunkenness or dishonesty are acceptable things in the lives of people that claim to be Christians. Cannot have those things. All these and many more things exist outside the truth of God's will, outside of God's Word. Therefore, those who teach or hold to these things cannot be the house of God. They cannot be the church of the living God. They cannot be saved in that condition. As God's church, we are called to stand against these teachings. We are called to stand against these beliefs and all things that are in contradiction to the Bible. We hold up the truth before these things. We do not hate them. We do not dislike them. We do not ridicule them. But we teach them. We love them. We try to bring them to God. That's our purpose. That's our mission. We hold it up and we support it against all who threaten to cause people to believe a lie in lieu of the truth. We are to be the one church of Jesus Christ, the one that Jesus told the disciples that He would build, the one that He said is mine. He said, I will build my church. We are His. This is not about you and me getting to make decisions. The church in Kentucky, I blogged about it a few weeks ago, that voted to decide a particular doctrine of who they were going to accept in and who they were going to reject. That's not your place, and it's not mine either. This is Christ's church. It's not a democracy. The United States is a democracy. I love that it is, and I can't wait to vote. Folks, you don't exist in here in a democracy. We follow a king. It is a monarchy. We are his servants. We are his subjects. We do as he says. And we do not get a say. Because we're not worthy of one. Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul told the Ephesians that Christ is the head of the church. And we follow his will in all things and hold up his teachings to all mankind. We shine his light. Man, I don't have any light to shine. Nathan doesn't look too good by himself. You take Christ out of my life, it's pretty ugly. You don't want that. Nobody should want what Nathan has out without Christ. The light we shine, the people that we are, it shows Christ to the world, not us. It's not about us. It's about him. That God may receive the glory, right? That's why we shine our light, according to Matthew chapter 5. We shine his light, and as a result, we can fully expect opposition from a world, as John chapter 3, the end of the chapter, Jesus says, because they don't want the light, they love the darkness, right? And they're going to oppose us. They're not going to candy coat that. They're not going to like us. But we're going to bring souls to Christ. And that's worth everything. You know, in order to be the one true church, and folks, we had better make sure we are. We are not today the Lord's church by default. We are the Lord's church today by whether we are following His Word in totality. He will not abide laziness. He will not abide those that don't bother to check. We need to be certain. And that requires study of God's Word. But in order to be the one true church, we must rebuke false teachers. We must worship according to the will of God. We must be prepared for attacks from the world. We must be focused on godliness. And we must love those in this room today and those that are not in this room today. We love the sexually immoral. We want them to be saved. We love the greedy. We want them to be saved. We love those that live in the religious world teaching that which is wrong because we want them to be saved. We want them to teach what is right. We want them to come to God. Use those talents that they're using for wrong to do that which is right, to further the kingdom of God. We love those within and without. May we always be a congregation of the one true church of God by living and functioning according to His will and holding up that truth before the world and supporting that truth as the church of the living God, the one church of the living God. We have many brethren. There are many congregations all over this world holding to the same principles that we hold, holding to the Bible, to God's Word and God's Word only. You know, some people say it's old and antiquated. I hear young preachers say this, and it just drives me nuts. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible's silent. Folks, that doesn't get old if you really believe the Bible. Because that's all we need. It is able to make us perfect, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'll get it right. And y'all need to check me if I don't, right? This morning, you have the opportunity to become a part of the one church of God, to obey the truth of God's gospel as revealed to us in the New Testament by the Holy Spirit through the pens of men. We hope and pray that you'll make that decision this morning. Maybe you don't know enough yet to make that decision, and if you are interested and you want to know the truth, there are many in this room today that are willing to sit down with you and to study God's Word with you that you might know the truth and that you can become a part of God's family, God's house, God's church. You can do so this morning if you know what you need to do. You can come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You can be buried in baptism to rise from that watery grave, having your sins washed away, to walk a new life, as Romans 6 says. A life that is given to holding up the truth and supporting it to being a part of the one church of the living God. You know, then when Christ does appear in the sky, as we sang a few moments ago, you can say, it is well with my soul. Folks, I look forward to the day, and the song that we're going to sing here in just a moment, I look forward to the day when we all get to heaven, right? I don't want some of you here this morning to get to heaven. I want every one of you to get to heaven. I want us to sing that song this morning and long for everybody in this room when we all get to heaven. Everybody here and everybody out there too. May we work to be what we sing in the song, making the effort to get everyone to heaven. People will have to make their own choices. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you forgot that you're to hold up the truth. If you're to shine Christ, maybe you've forgotten that you're to support the truth in a world that doesn't want truth, love truth, or have truth. Change today. Once again, lift up truth. Support it. Stand for it in all ways that God may be seen in you. We can assist you in any way in your turning your life around in that direction. We hope and pray that you will let us. Won't you come this morning as we stand and as we sing?
Jesus,